He brings a bigger check, Mr. Richards. Thank you.
Yeah, for kids.
Yeah. Good morning, everyone. I want to welcome you all and those of you online to this Los Angeles County Board of County Commissioners special meeting. Today is April 18th, 2025. It is 9 a.m. We call this meeting to order. Please rise for an invocation by Commissioner Lucero, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance by Commissioner Tony Huss. Lord, on this Good Friday, help us to see the profound goodness in your sacrifice. Grant us the vision to understand the depth of your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Commissioners. Roll call, Mr. Dorenkamp.
Commissioner Lucero?
Here.
Commissioner Hess?
Yep.
Commissioner Lopez?
Good morning, and I'm here. Approval of the agenda. Do we have any changes to the agenda, sir?
No changes, Commissioner.
Thank you, sir. I will entertain a motion to approve the agenda as posted.
Move to approve the agenda.
Second.
Commissioner Lucero?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Lopez?
Yes, thank you. And well, Good Friday to all of you. Today we have two items on this particular agenda. And so item number one is consideration of Trinidad Construction Group judges bench change order number four. Either Mr. Kreiman or Mr. Dorenkamp, do we need a go ahead and give us a description of the project, Mr. Dorenkamp?
For your commission, your consideration is change order number four for the Trinidad Construction Group judges bench project, and it's in essence some changing of the judges bench, actually lowering the front of it, for lack of a better way of describing it. Mr. Kreiman, yes. Chime in, please do.
Morning, Mr. Kreiman. How are you today?
Good morning. Just for your record, Bob Kreiman, court executive for the 3rd Judicial District. So the scope of the project, the bench project was amazing. All the craftsmanship was really good. The design of the bench was, I think the architect that we had designed a judicial bench before. So designed it beautifully, and it was great. And it was constructed exactly to specs. We had this beautiful ADA ramp that for if we ever have a judge that is confined to a wheelchair, except the problem is the sight lines. If you had somebody actually in the wheelchair, their eyes would barely look over the top of it. So you wouldn't see the witnesses, you wouldn't see the jury, you wouldn't see attorneys, any parties to the case. We have temporarily fixed that by having a chair that goes up higher, so that raises the judge up. It sort of fixes the problem, but we don't have an ADA, a true ADA bench. We have a ramp, but if somebody actually was in a wheelchair, it wouldn't be right. So our architect for judicial said, there's money in underfunded left. We should lower this sight lines to make it right. And that's really the right thing to do. It's not the easy thing to do. The easy thing to do is just let the chair go the way it is. But if I ever have a judge that's confined to a wheelchair, now I'm going to come to you guys. I won't have money from underfunded. The craftsmanship, who knows? Companies come and go. I really like the craftsmanship of this company. So while we have money and this company, I really think that we should just act on that and approve this change order. I know it's kind of expensive to do that. And I wish I would have caught it when the design plans came in, but I'm not an architect. I don't know what I'm looking at when I'm looking at blueprints. So that's just the basic scope of it. And we're trying to, and I appreciate you guys putting this up faster. I know you want to put on a normal board of commissioner meetings. So thank you for doing that. The reason is because we have a judge going on vacation end of May, June, and we want to get this approved so we can get forward so they can order materials and get it scheduled while he's out of the office for a week and we get that construction done without interruption to the business.
Thank you. So Mr. Kreiman, a couple of questions for you as we look at, so if I understand that properly, they're going to have to remove the front portion and just lower that.
Yep.
And so thank you. The other question, when you mentioned that there are funds on underfunded, what is the cost of the project? Just to put that on the record, and what do we have left on that balance?
So I talked to Ms. Coberly about what was left in the underfunded, and she had given me a figure of just over $90,000. So the project came in under, the bid was pretty low as far as what we thought we might have to pay. I think that they paid all the bills. I don't know if that's, you know, I just asked them to make sure everything has been paid off to that point. So there was the money left in there, over $90,000. The project itself, because there's a couple components of it. There's the component that underfunded paid for, and then there's a component that we paid for audiovisual and furnishings and things like that. The entire project cost over $200,000 when you talk about audiovisual and furnishings and things like that. So I don't remember specifically, Phil may know what was paid for out of underfunded, but I think somewhere in that 130-ish range so far is where I think that we have.
So
with change orders and everything, it's about 127,000. And with this one, it'll put it up to 132, a little over 132 is shown in the invoice that, is shown in the change order. But I want to add to this, this underfunded funding also is paying for the elevator that we're slowly, hopefully, making progress on to try and get that started too. So.
And Ms. Romanowski, our architect for judicial that is part of that underfunded process, was telling me that there's two separate components. One component was this money's for the bench project, and this money's for the elevator project, although it came at the same time. It was sort of bifurcated. So the money that we have, that 90,000, is earmarked just for the bench. Now, if we don't spend it on the bench, theoretically, that money would go back to the state. But my plan is whatever's left over in that fund, we're going to ask them to move it to the elevator project. So you would have to request that just to change. They have already allocated Los Angeles County the money, so I don't see any roadblocks with us just saying, move it from this one to this one. I know there's cost overruns on the elevator project. I've been talking to Phil about that. And you guys have gotten a bill just because the cost of materials have gone up since that. And so I've explained that to SCAO or State Court Administrator's Office already and said, we're going to be asking for this. So sort of expect it to come. And they don't necessarily, I'm not talking to the decision makers, mind you, but I'm talking to sort of the admin folks that are staffing that commission. And they won't oppose it, and I don't see any trouble with
well, and if need be, Mr. Kramer, as we have had the opportunity to travel and do a presentation, if that is necessary, we're more than willing to do so.
Yep.
And that shows a bit of a fiduciary responsibility on our side. We did the due diligence in seeking a qualified contractors, B, a price that is that goes beyond what we expected. So thank you for that. So, Mr. Dorenkamp, I saw you giving us the nod. You believe that the funds are available and have not been appropriated for any other expenditure.
No, that's correct.
And what is this?
That's what I'm looking up, Commissioner.
It's like $5,600, I think.
It shows the subtotal change order was $5,616.51.
And there's another one that's coming. So the chairs that we had done, we wanted to keep the historic look of that room. Originally, they want judicial as a whole, they put in pews in courtrooms, bench seating, and we didn't want that. We said, we want to keep these gorgeous chairs. And so we had a project where we restained them, recovered them, and they reinstalled them. The bottoms of the chairs are this laminated wood that cracks really easily. So when they put in the new screws, I think they over tighten them, but I'm not 100% sure, but they're falling out. And by the end of the year, all the chairs are probably going to, the screws are going to fall out. The chairs are going to get all wobbly. So I asked this company to give me a bid on cutting a template for the bottom wood chairs that is going to be a hardwood that will stain. And then our maintenance folks to save money could probably screw them back in. It's just pretty easy to screw them in. I haven't got that quote yet on that part of the project, but I'm going to be coming back. That one's probably not as time sensitive as this one because we could do that whenever. But whatever that bid comes in, I'm probably going to go to Mr. Dorenkamp and I'm going to say, hey, we want to spend this money also out of underfunded. It can't be that much money, but we'll see once that bid comes in.
So, Mr. Kramer, do we have a deadline before we ask for a no-cost extension to expend those funds?
End of the year is when we have to spend the money. Yeah, so calendar year is when underfunded is. And then there's going to be another cycle with underfunded coming in September. And so we'll be talking about what we want to ask for with that project too. I know the county probably has needs. I have some wants that I'll probably come in and say, these are what I would love to see happen.
Definitely keep that, and we like those road trips.
Yeah, underfunded, just to give you guys the information, is it was supposed to be $3 million a year for 10 years. That was sunsetting, I think, in 2024, so they extended it. The program this past year, as politicians do, they negotiate and they say, take from here and give to here. They've reduced that fund from $3 million a year to $1 million a year for the next 3 years. They have quite a bit of money already in that fund, so there's money that we can ask for, but I think our year is 2026, I think, to go and ask for another big one, and after that, there may be less opportunity.
Very good. Thank you, sir. Commissioners, any additional questions?
You done with me?
I think so. Thank you, sir. Hearing no other questions and verifying that the amount that is being requested of $5,600 in change is available, I at this time will entertain a motion.
I will move the Trinidad Construction Group Judge's Bench Change Order Number 4 be approved.
Second motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Mr. Searle?
Yes.
Mr. Lopez?
Yes. Thank you. And thank you, Mr. Kreiman, for all the information. We're going to go to the 2B, consideration of community wildfire defense grant. Mr. Richards?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, board members. Great to see you this morning. Before I start, I just want to thank you for your encouragement on promoting our safety values for fire mitigation and all emergencies, actually. And I just want to share a little email with you I got from the Premier High School. The sheriff and I and Chief Bacharach did a presentation a month or so ago, and we fielded questions for about 2 hours. I mean, it was really impressive. And they're putting together packages for their area out in the western part of the county, and they requested 300 parents' workbooks like this. So I'm going to run them out there to them to do that. So they're really involved in the community and wanting to, help with prevention and to be prepared in case of emergency, not only for fire, but for other things. So I just wanted to share that with you this morning. Thank you. That with your encouragement, it's really been very successful in the community, and the whole community is excited about it. And that brings us to our request for your approval to process this grant to prepare a CWPP, a Colorado Wild Protection Plan. It's under the Community Wildfire Defense Grant. We had some issues getting some information. Took us probably since July to get all the information we needed. We finally had a meeting with the state. Penny Bieber was there. Our finance director was there to answer any and all questions. So we got the forms filled out correctly. We ran them through the county attorney and with her blessings. And basically what it is preparing a Colorado Wildfire Protection Plan for the entire county. About $150,000 plus or minus will be hiring a consultant to put the package together. And the rest of the funds will be for indirect costs. Anything we run into, we may have to hire someone, maybe staff even in the courthouse to do research and get things prepared. Penny spent, I think, an hour and a half with the state after we got off the phone call, getting more information on things to prepare to help us save money and get this this out. Right now, I requested 100% grant of it, so we should have no matching funds to be involved with. The city of Trinidad had offered $10,000 towards that. We're going to do an in-kind to try to make that work, but I put the application in with 100% funding, and I got everything back with no notation, so I think that's where we are. So I want to put that out there. So the whole grant is $197,742. And in that grant, we will have a complete process, probably take up to 18 months to complete the process is our plan. In that, we'll have a minimum of 3 town hall meetings with each one of your districts to be in there, because how you fight a fire and how you prepare for fire may be different out in the prairie versus the mountains. The city of Trinidad is really involved in this too. They're very interested mostly because of the Marshall Fire that hit that community, but losing 1,100 homes in 6 hours. So there's a real need for that kind of mitigation. But once we have the plan put together, which this will be, it will open up funds. Hopefully, they don't all go away with the way things are going these days. $40 million has been set aside to do mitigation projects. So with a plan in place, we will be able to start implementing those plans and making this a living, usable document.
Mr. Richards, thank you. This is one of those initiatives that we know that it's going to be ongoing. One of the opportunities that we have and should continue to entertain is to do an assessment as you're doing this particular plan. I like to see a plan that would address the federal lands, because the federal government has made a statement they want to work with states and counties. I attended the National Association of Counties conference, and that particular breakout session, we reminded the federal government that almost every state has federal lands within. And in so many instances, especially here on the western part of the United States, the fire mitigation is almost non-existent. Mm-hmm. And so for that, to create a good partnership, whether it's Bureau of Land Management, whatever federal lands we have, they, meaning the federal government, hopefully has a plan as to how to proceed. But when counties bring it up to their attention, I think they would just probably know that, hey, this is specifically on the west part of this county. I mean, we have, I don't know how many acres, if any, but I'm looking forward to seeing this plan completed so we can reach out both to the state and the federal government, so they can also understand the complexity and yet the rapid response that they need to provide to this fire mitigation activity. So
yes, so that's part of the plan. We're in close contact with Pinyon Canyon, for example. Yes. So we can find out what's going on with them, and we stay in close contact. So they will all be part of this program. We're going to make it complete if possible, and we will have these meetings to taking this time period to run by you. And if there's anything you think we missed or should add, that's what this is for.
We definitely welcome any updates. And again, we have now the 42nd State Park that also comprises some 20,000 acres.
Yep.
That should have a very specific plan, because at the end of the day, it's going to be local fire response initially that has to be the one that the first responder.
Right. Actually, it's our problem to start with, for sure, even though it's the state. So those things will be addressed, absolutely.
Yes, very good.
And you'll all be invited to those, town hall meetings, so you have a major role, exactly what's going on. And any questions you can raise, and people ask, I'll have questions for you, I'm sure. So we can have this. This is truly a community-driven idea. This whole project, I think I was the second day at work here, and I got a phone call from this group, Penny and Lloyd Holloman and Gil and Julie, and they just said, what are you doing about our mitigation for the county? And, it was like a work for 2 days. And I said, I don't know. So, but this is a truly community-driven grant, and it's going to be, the committees will be a wide cross-section of the community, so it'll be a truly, everybody will have their input, nobody will be excluded.
Well, part of the questions that we receive also is private landowners.
Yep.
Where do I apply for a grant? Can you help me? And so, thus far, the response is we'd be more than glad to support if a private landowner identifies a funding source.
Yes.
As far as having this plan, then we can actually go to the blueprint and say, well, the perspective for this portion of the county is, and then we have the steps to be followed.
Yes. Yeah, and then we have to meet the complexities of getting those grants. That's a moving target right now. So as soon as things settle down a little bit, and that was part of the concern and the delay on this, we wanted to make sure the funds were there and weren't going to be, we've signed the grant, get things going, and then the money goes away. But we were assured at this meeting that the funds were appropriated by Congress and everything is secure and the money's there to be used for this effort.
Well, I think it's a high priority for any and all counties here in the Western States.
Yes, sir.
The National Association of Counties, we had a meeting just early last week with the State Land Board. And we had an opportunity to welcome the second vice president, which is from Fremont County for the National Association of the Western Interstate Region, that also gave us an update as to how the National Association of Counties is working directly with the federal government. And these funds should stay intact because the need is great, especially on the western part of Colorado. So yeah, that is
absolutely. Yeah, I've changed insurance. I'm on my third insurance company, so I know it is a priority getting things mitigated. So.
We can talk about insurances as we get now. We get into a different the wildlife or urban interface. I mean, Commissioner Tony Hass and I have been really at the forefront of this whole conversation because insurances may just say, you know what, I'm not going to insure that portion of Colorado. And that's going to make it so difficult for those individual families that have been living there for generations. Yeah. And all of a sudden to not have protection.
The state has already put out as part of that new initiative for the building codes, things like that, that this whole area pretty much is in the red. I mean, it's you know, not insurable. And that's what we have to fix that. We have to make an effort to do that. So the building codes and things like that will be coming up as far as new construction and things like that to maybe hardscape the homes a little bit better to help the insurance rates as they go up.
And that's for new builds.
Oh, sorry, sir.
That's for new builds.
For new builds, right now, the way that it's in the legislature, it's new builds and anything, any addition over 500 square feet, you would have to bring the building up to code. Yeah. Right now. So I don't think it's insurmountable. I don't think it's a big expense. Just might, unless they do something with log cabins, for example, you know, with wood, that might be an issue to do it. But there are ways to treat it. You know, that's my old thing as building official. They have new materials now that are lumber. They'll go 12 stories that when they catch fire, they actually form a charcoal ring around them and it stops the fire. So if they're 6 inches thick, it might burn in a half an inch or an inch, but then it puts the flame out. So there are, I'm sure with technology and if things start getting limited, they'll come up with new ideas and new building construction. So,
and commissioners, we have, I think you guys recall, preliminary discussions about moving our building from 18 now to 24. Which is what the city of Trinidad. I know you folks have received some negative feedback on that. But as everybody's discussing here, we may not have a whole lot of choice in the not too distant future.
And we talk about affordable housing, and they're not going to be affordable much longer. And
especially trying to get insurance to coverage or to cover these residences.
With the regional building codes and the regional WUI and everything up to the maximum, It's going to be tough to do any new builds, and then to pile this on it also.
Yeah,
we're going to hear from our construction groups.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, well, I went to the 21 code up in Arapahoe County. That was had the big home builders up there, and they called for sprinklered homes. So we made an amendment that anything over 6,000 square foot had to be sprinklered. The rest did not. So we have some flexibility in the code.
Manipulate.
But there, I think there could be some things the state will mandate that we're going to have to comply with. It'll be a state statute.
Sorry.
Hiring the consultant, RFQ, RFP, who develops it. Is there a bidding process? Does the state have a certain list of?
We're going to put it out for bid. We've already been contacted. We were only one of three counties in the whole state that were approved for this. So they've been kind of knocking at our door. We've been talking to other folks that have done this and got ideas about their consultants. We've actually talked to the state and who they like to work with and who gives more or less, complete subjects on this. So we're compiling a list right now. We've actually put a request for pricing together. It's sitting and waiting.
once we finish talking with the state, we're going to make some modifications to that for approval before we put it out to bid. Then we'll see how the bidding process goes.
Okay, so we do not have to develop it in Los Angeles County.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir, we do, and yes, sir, we don't.
Yes, we do. We have to develop our own. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, do we have to develop the RFQ, RFP, whatever?
Yes. Yeah, the request for price is not a standard procedure. It's a, whatever works for us. Because we for example, I want an option in there that, let's say the two prices are really close, but this person's got more complete proposal. I may want to go with that person versus someone maybe a little bit lower, but they don't have everything complete. So the completeness of the proposal, we're leaving that open to the bid process right now, which will be ran by the county attorney to take a look at how we could do that so we can have some debate and discussion about it and pick the firm that fits what we think would give us the best pluck for our buck.
And you're going to develop it?
It's already, yes, sir. I have a rough draft already done. Okay. Yes, yes.
And this individual will be paid for out of this $197,742?
We've allotted $148,000 for a consultant. The rest of it are indirect costs. I can send you a copy of that if you don't have it already.
Thank you.
So that you know what we're doing.
And then one of the recommendations, Mr. Richards, would be to have some fire mitigation experts to do the evaluation of the RFP.
Yes.
I would even go as far as inviting the FPDC, someone from that agency, your local fire districts, so we can understand exactly. And then, as you mentioned, if you have two responses on that RFP and they're close enough on price, but you have to get in there the value added expertise.
That's correct.
That kind of thing. And how do you... It's going to have to be a weighted process.
Right. So we have already have examples from other jurisdictions.
Very good.
So we're doing our homework to make sure we do it right. We're also talking to the state, Forest Service, too, for what they would like to see complete. They've given us some great advice. For example, there's some mapping that's already done. And a lot of agents, you know, will come in and say, hey, we have to do all this mapping. Well, if it's already done, you don't have to do it again. And that saves us money. So we're going to be on top of it. And I'm sure we'll run it by you. Make sure we have any questions. If you guys have any questions, you can surely.
Sounds exciting and interesting. And we're looking forward to staying abreast of what is happening on your neck of the woods.
Great. Thank you.
So it's time for you.
As soon as you sign the document, we'll see what their process is in getting it. A formal document to us, but I think it's immediate. Once it's signed, it's executed. We can start doing that. We'll get the proposals going and start putting meetings together with the with our group and having these discussions. And we'll give you a heads up on how we're going to do the town hall meetings and what they're prepared for, because we want the consultant to be a facilitator in those, so we can control the conversation. You guys aren't there, you know, town hall meetings can get out of hand. We want to be able to control those town hall meetings and keep focused on the prize. So it's a step-by-step process. We have a couple of years to get this done, but we're thinking 18 months is probably a realistic time frame.
Yep. Well, commissioners, any additional discussion on this item?
None at this time.
Hearing none, I will entertain a motion.
I will move to approve the Community Wildfire Defense Grant.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Cerro?
Yes.
Commissioner Lopez?
Yes. Thank you. And Mr. Richards, if you have any questions, please reach out to either legal counsel and or Mr. Dorenkamp. And know that that podium is always available for any updates. Thank you, sir. Thank you. We don't have any other items on this particular agenda, so at this time, I'm going to entertain a motion to adjourn this meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Commissioner Cerro?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Lopez?
Yes. Meeting adjourned.